I need that co-host. I need that co-host label immediately. Fonz, what's up? We got the crew already. This is going to be a hot space. What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining. Real-time therapy. Let's go.
Anybody that wants to speak, raise their hand.
I want Amy to unmute.
We're getting everybody.
I'm here.
Here we go, Amy. Here we go.
I've got a sickly voice.
Bianca, Tina, Giselle.
What a ride. What a ride. How? I don't even know where to begin.
Steven, you want to come up? Feel free.
I definitely need to talk to Patrick. I want to talk to Patrick for sure. I know Patrick wants to get on the mic.
Patrick
Chopla, get in here.
Patrick, coming up. Let's go. Tweet therapy. Giselle, you gotta bless everyone with the baritone.
Giselle Velvet, let's do it.
Giselle, what's good, y'all? You know, welcome to Tweet Therapy. Since we can't access anything, I can drop a BetterHelp link. But you know, use this. This gonna be the little free 99 until, you know, 9 p. What is it? 9 a.m. PST. So lunchtime for me. But yes, share your memories, your gripes, all above. Let's go.
Jules, welcome.
Hello, it's an honor.
Tina, did you get the invite? We want to. Patrick, I sent you an invite. Come on up. Let's go.
Fonz, what was your favorite memory of your time at Twitter?
Oh my gosh. Don't put me on the spot. I'm trying to bring people up. You.
That's a great memory. Come on.
Listen. I got to warm up to that. You start off. You've been, actually, Shiraz, you should tell some OG stories first.
OG stories. Ooh, okay,
2013 okay. To now. Tell some stories. Tell some stories of OG stories. Twitter for the people.
So, I mean, let me set the stage, I guess. So I've been
here
Twitter.
We go.
Oh, here we go. 9.5 years. So I've seen it all. I was here pre-IPO. Now private. what a ride. What where do I even begin, Fonz? There's so many stories in between.
Listen, like, how did you, like, what was Twitter like in 2013? Like,
it was a lot smaller. So obviously we're remote right now, but in the pre-times, we used to have offices and these things called desks. It was a great time. And surprisingly enough, the entire company fit into one building. And we had some international offices, but it was like a handful of people in each one. Like, I think our biggest was like London. And even London was like 25 people at the time. Like, it was small. So everybody was in HQ, aka San Francisco. And we had just moved. So I got hired when Twitter had just moved into the 10th Street office, because it used to be on Folsom and Harrison, like a really tiny office.
OG.
The OG office. That was the original office. So I had just got hired a lot of 2013, a long time ago, when they had just moved the week before. So my first week, like our new hire orientation, we got to like tour the building. It was completely empty, brand new. You could smell the paint. It was so cool. And then 2 days later, maybe 3 days later, Kobe Bryant comes in.
What?
Kobe Bryant comes in.
What?
And I played. We had like this basketball hoop thing in it used to be like the arcade room. It wasn't like a big arcade, but it was like really tiny. And it was called Papa Shot. And we got to play Papa Shot with Kobe Bryant.
What? And,
this is insane. Yeah. I can't believe this happened.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It happened. It happened. it was amazing. And I didn't like fathom what it was, but at that time, like, we would have VITs, you know, verified celebs, whatnot. They would come into the office like every 3 days. There was somebody. They would just stop by. They would just swing by and just like drop by. And then it evolved into like GCP, like bringing them in for like a lunch and like being this thing where they would talk on stage and like talk to us and everything. But at the time, back then, it was so small. The company was like, you know, 80 people at lunch or whatever. Like, celebrities would just stop by. It was nuts. It was crazy. One time Snoop Dogg came in to the old office, and I was like, hey, how come, like, this is pre-me. Snoop Dogg came to the old office before he had moved, and people were telling me, oh, he's not allowed in the office, because I was like, oh my God, Kobe, like, who else comes? Like, this is awesome. And they're like, yeah, we have people show up all the time, but Snoop Dogg's not allowed. Him and his entourage were smoking so heavily that Adam Bain at the time, Adam Bain, our old CFO, I think he's CEO of Goat App now, but Adam Bain at the time had banned him from coming back because they had smoked out the office so bad.
I mean, it sounds like they did everyone a favor to me.
So Snoop Dogg was not allowed. I don't think he ever came back.
What a kindness.
Yeah, we had some crazy times.
That's the gold. That's the gold. Charades. Okay, so Bianca, you at Twitter 5 years?
Five and a half years.
What's one of your favorite stories?
I mean, I can't top that by any means with the celebrities.
Of course.
But I was saying to Rena today that I remember when we tweeted the first voicey tweet from at Twitter, and all just like hell broke loose, and it was never the same after that. And that was 2018. One of my favorite memories.
We got to find this tweet. What did that tweet say?
Tweet the meaning behind your Twitter handle. We'll start with Twitter. And literally everyone and their mother responded to it. And then private information here, but we were on, that was a Friday afternoon. We tweeted it. I had to go like run an errand. I left the office. The replies were just blowing up. And then we were on DMs with Jack and Leslie all weekend trying to figure out what else we wanted to tweet. And then the next one was like the you up at, I think, midnight that night.
Right.
The night after.
That was Saturday. Was that a Saturday night?
I think Friday into Saturday, yeah. Saturday into Sunday, yeah. What a time. And we tweeted Mail Whale. I'm scrolling so I could find this tweet for you all. Like Chrissy Teigen responded. Literally everyone was responding to that tweet. So that was the beginning of all of it.
And so Bianca, Shiraz gave us like a SF office story. Do you have a good New York office experience?
Do I? Let's think. I wouldn't talk about this normally, but we were in the New York office, and Laura Loomer handcuffed herself to the front of the New York office one time, but she failed to bring a jacket. And so when the sun went down and she got cold, our corporate security team was like, whatever, like, you can stay handcuffed to it. It's fine. Like, go ahead and protest. They weren't doing anything. And so when she got cold, she just up and left. And that was the end of her protest. It was hilarious.
Let that be a lesson. Think through your activism.
Think through your plan. But I added the tweet to the Jumbotron.
Okay. Is everybody seeing that? Yeah. We love it. So, wow. A couple people have joined. Welcome to Tweep Therapy. We're not going to do anything incriminating. We're just going to tell some stories. Stephen Compston.
I need somebody who was at the New York office when Chadwick came in for Black Panther. Because that was the legendary moment for me.
Totally. You weren't there.
No, I just watched it. I wish I was there.
I was there.
We should speak to that a little bit. That was a crazy time. So our team I actually was the photographer at the time. We wore many hats, but I was doing photography, and I got to meet Chadwick and the entire cast of Black Panther because we took over the is it an IMAX like near B&H? I think it's an IMAX something.
Yeah,
I
forgot. Yeah.
We took over that theater. It was, oh man, it was at the time, like, it's hard not to get starstruck, but like, we're in work mode, so it's like, oh, like, we're just, you know, it's normal. But like, looking back to that, like, now obviously with like Black Panther 2 coming out, I was thinking about that, like, man, I would have like just cried thinking about like knowing like what how much of an impact that would have made, because that whole thing when we took over and did the cast Q&A and did the early screening of Black Panther, that was like I think like 2.5, maybe 3 weeks before the actual movie release, like globally for Disney. So we were partnering with them to basically show it early. So like we got to see it and experience it, and I was like, damn, this is gonna be like super impactful. But like I didn't even realize like how much of an impact that would have made, because that you know, knowledge alone would have like changed our interactions of like how we approach the whole thing. But like it's just crazy to see like how all that stuff just unfolds. But I mean, Bianca, you were there, and that's like your city. So like what was that like?
Well, I mean, this was the after effect, right? So, like, we saw how people were responding, and we saw the little kid who was told at his school that he was going to be able to go see Black Panther. And so we brought all of those kids to go then come into the New York office, and they didn't even think that anything was happening. And we brought Chadwick in, and, like, TJ interviewed Chadwick at the New York office in front of the kids and Tweeps, and it was, like, this epic, epic moment. And like to your point, Gerard, looking back, obviously none of us had any idea that he was sick. And it was just one of those things where you're like, that to me is the true power of Twitter. My team always knows that I say this, but like anything can happen when you tweet. And that's exactly a pure representation of that phrase. So much of the power of buying out theaters was powered through Twitter. And that was a pure example of it. But Emily's here and Tanner's here, and they were involved in all the Black Panther work too. I don't know if either of them want to come up and talk about it.
Yeah, is DZ? I see you too. I sent you an invite. Where's Emily? If you see them, send them invites. Come on up, talk, tell us these stories. Who else has got an amazing story? Amy, did you have a story you want to share?
I do. Yeah. I think if we're going to talk about just like one of our favorite moments, and specifically just around work that we've done, I was actually just talking to Bianca about it the other day. But it was when we did the Megan Thee Stallion takeover on Twitter Music, and it was just such like a surreal moment, just being in Megan Thee Stallion's hotel room doing this takeover with her on our phone, just in real time. And at one point I was really encouraging her to do, it was at that point in time, do you remember like the chicken sandwich?
Popeye's chicken sandwich. Yes. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
And I was like really, you know, nudging her to like to lean into that, and they had actually bought Popeyes, which was like why I was like, oh my gosh, we have to like pull this into the takeover, like this is too good. And she ended up like twerking on and like making a whole video and tweeting it out from Twitter Music, and it was like trending. It was just hysterical, and I had so much fun doing it. And it was just like, this was even like slightly before she really like, you know, shot up into fame. And it was incredible. It was so much fun.
This is legendary.
Never forget. Amazing.
Amy, we got to find those tweets. Put them on the
table. Amy's downplaying it though. Downplaying it. I remember her like sending us iMessage picture. Like we were getting pics. Like, yo, I'm hanging out. I'm eating a Popeye sandwich with Megan Thee Stallion on a bed, and she's about to twerk. Oh my God, she's twerking with a Popeye sandwich. Like Amy is downplaying it. She's too cool right now.
Amy, we need you to tweet the photos. Tweet the photos right now, Amy.
Yeah. So do you have the BTS? Let's tweet the BTS.
That's
let's
the thing, because I did it on my phone because I like had access, you know, Twitter Music on my phone. We were doing it all there, so all of the pictures and videos were on my phone. So
I still tweet that shit, Amy. Get it up on the Jumbotron. Let's go.
Get it out. That's the time.
Make us proud.
We got many, many tweeps in the space. Please request to speak. We need stories. It's tweep therapy. I'm giving you my deep voice here because it's therapy. Okay, Lulu, get up here. Tell us a story.
I think they let me talk. I just want to say, and y'all, I'm about to drop some F-bombs in here. If you are SMB, we are some fucking amazing people because we had some amazing ass leaders.
Let's go.
And I am so grateful. Like Beyonce says, you can't break my soul. And honestly, I think maybe I'm all cried out because I've been crying all day today. I have had the absolute privilege of working alongside some of the best leaders, I think, and I'm sure I'm biased, known to man. Like, I don't think anyone has ever had a better leader. Shout out to Joe, Kevin, Nuria, Colin, Katie, Sam, Cam, Grace, Hannah, who's not here anymore, Kirsten, Brittany, every fucking body. And this is some crazy shit. And my mom always says, what goes around comes around. And if you're on SMB, I love you. Thank you for always letting me show up authentically as myself to work. Thank you for never making me dim my light. Thank you for never making me feel like I have to shrink myself when I walk into a room. I am so grateful that God has put you guys in my life. And I have learned so much from you guys. And I got a long way to go in my career because I'm really young. But when I do become that leader, I hope that I am even 5% of the leader as you guys were to me, because y'all have poured into me and I'm so grateful for y'all. And I'm a thug and I don't cry, so I'm about to go on mute.
Yo, Lulu, I got that's amazing to hear.
Wait, hold on yeah, real quick. Lulu, hold on real quick. Lulu, tell everybody what SMB is, because a lot of people may not know what SMB is and what y'all do.
So, you know, sometimes they try to change us, sometimes they try to make us TCS, but we are SMB. We represent the small, medium businesses of advertisers on the platform. Just because we're small, our numbers are large. We're big. We make our numbers don't lie. We are a team of dynamic, bold individuals who not only show up for each other, but show up for our advertisers. I mean, even today in the midst of the storm, we had people asking us for stuff and we were still showing up and just ready to just be there for them. We're helping advertisers, you know, find their voice on the platform, optimize their campaigns and spend money. You know what I'm saying? Because money talk. Money is what's making this platform stay alive, Mr. Musk. So, yeah, that's who we are.
Yup. Nope. And I see Joe F. listening. I see him creeping. I see him lurking. My guy, Joe F. So, Lulu, fun fact, I was the first ever sales SMB hire when I came over from Google to Twitter a long, long time ago. I was the first ever sales hire in SMB. The team didn't exist.
He's going to give everybody an OG story in this space.
Yeah, well, this is my resume, Fonz. I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's in the stands. I don't know who's in the stands right now. This is my resume.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
But Joe, I see Joe. Joe, you got to tell some stories of the OG SMB days. That's what I want to hear. I see him laughing. He's got the real stories.
All right. Well, Joe requests. Let's get him up. Real quick, one of the beautiful things about being a Tweep is Tweep for life, no matter where you may go next. DZ is at another establishment. And OG Tweep. Though
Fonz, what legend, up,
legendary. You got to tell us some of your favorite tweet memories.
We got to talk about. I believe it was December, 2018 or 2019.
Oh, 2019.
Oh, yeah, God. When we were planning Ghana. So, like, to set the stage, like, no tech company had ever entered West Africa, Ghana, before, and this was the year of the return in. We had like a little core group of Blackbirds that were just like kicking around ideas. I remember Jade Radke, we said a meeting. We said, okay, how are we going to finesse a way to Ghana? and it just started with like three people. And then the year of the return just got bigger and bigger. And that was the time Jack, Kayvon, TJ, Jack had made a trip to Nigeria and to Ghana, and we kind of took that momentum to create a plan for Blackbirds to activate in Ghana. And I remember, Fonz, this was like your first month at the company.
Literally
your first month. And we were having issues with like budgets and stuff like that. I'm like, we had no idea how we were going to pull this off. So, I mean, Fonz, man, shout out to you, dude, because like you really were the core of bringing that together. And I don't think we would really be in Ghana without your leadership early on, because it really wouldn't have happened without you. And like, you know, we can laugh about it now, but you know, we were in Ghana. Like, I remember you lost your phone at the Mr. Yo, Easy concert, and you were like, "Yo,
I got jacked. I got jacked in Ghana. It was legendary."
Lost your phone. I remember we were at my house in Ghana, and like we were using my Wi-Fi. Like, I was cooking food. So it was just such like a raw but beautiful time. And I was actually thinking about that the other day, man. So like, just seeing all the tweets and all my former colleagues, you know, Twitter will always have a special place in my heart forever. So, but yeah, that time was wild. But I definitely think we made history because, you know, you look at Ghana now, you know, Google's there, YouTube is there, Meta is there. Everybody kind of like, you know, came off of the tail work that we did and we created to do something special. So,
yeah. Well, first of all, DZ, thank you. I did not plant DZ, y'all, by the way. I did not set that up. But
man, Fonz, you got your own personal hype, man. What's going on here?
No. But I want to give props to DZ because DZ, you know, first of all, is the prince of Ghana. He's downplaying it, but he's a legit royalty out there. Like whatever DZ says goes out there. No. And what DZ and I had this incredible experience. I think, was it your first time too going to the Door of No Return?
Oh my God, I left that part out. That was my second time. But yeah, you got to tell that story for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. And I think, again, just I don't want to dominate this space at all. I'll keep it as quick as I can. But this was my first project ever for Twitter. I've been at Twitter 3 years. And like DZ was saying, we had the teams came up with this incredible idea, you know, to really activate in at Afrochella in Accra, which is right around the holidays. And this is before anybody was working with Afrochella. Now they're obviously so massive, so influential. And we put this whole program together to really do essentially like a choose your own adventure. This is actually, I think Bianca came up with the idea for the actual execution to do a choose your own adventure throughout Accra, and you could go to Afrochella through tweets. And this required us to like hire photographers locally and like take amazing photos. Shout out to Josh Kissy, of the entire culture, you know, the food and the chochos, the transportation, everything. And then the culminating part of this journey, I'll find the link, I'll put it up top.
I just added a Fonz.
Oh, perfect. It's amazing. The final culmination of this whole journey is going to the slave castles on the Cape Coast, which are now museums where people can go see what it was like for the slaves who were about to, you know, go on the Middle Passage. And, you know, as you can imagine, it's incredibly difficult to go there. And especially as people have African descent, or, you know, especially for DZ, like you have that connection, you know, directly to Ghana, to be able to tell that story. This is my first project ever at Twitter. You know, I still think about it to this day, and no other place would this have been possible, you know, or would have made sense. So major gratitude, and thank you, DZ, because we couldn't have done it. we needed each other.
We needed everybody. I mean, to your point about the slave castles, like I totally left that part out, but it was a very, very important part. And actually, I think one of the main reasons we were there, if you know, look at the context of your return, it's one of those moments in your life where, you know, when you see where the slaves were being held before they made their journey to the Caribbeans and to the Caribbean and to the Americas, it really like touches you in a way that you can't even explain. Like, I remember we were all there and I had to like look over to Kimber, look over to Jay. And I remember Jay was crying. I think we were all crying. Totally. Just making sure everybody was okay. And like, you know, we had we were riding back to the city, and like, I remember we were just in silence for like a good, like, 15, 20 minutes, and then we started talking again. But yeah, that was like, you know, to your point, like, I don't think I could ever get that experience at Meta, you know, or like, yeah, or any other company. So yeah, man. So I'm definitely thinking about everybody for sure.
Appreciate it. Wow. I forgot. Yeah, man, it's crazy. So much has happened. All right. We got other folks, other stories. Joe, you up here, talk to the people.
Thank you, Fonz. And thanks for calling me out, Shiraz, since you mentioned it. Well, first of all, Lulu, thank you very much for all the kind words about the team and all the hard work, and like, huge shout out to the SMB team at ATL, just like absolutely the heart and soul of our US team. But Shiraz mentioned he and I worked together for a long time, and he started out on the SMB team around the same time I did in 2013. And then he went on to bigger and better things. And one of the things about the SMB team is we didn't always like exactly follow the rules. And so, or do what we were supposed to. So at one point, Marissa Window and our marketing team launched a podcast and didn't really tell anybody else that we were going to do it. And part of doing that, created a bunch of social handles on third-party platforms and things like that. And so it had been a couple of years since Shiraz and I had caught up, and I got an email from him and I saw it in my inbox. And I was like, oh, this would be great to, you know, see what Shiraz is up to. And he said, I need to talk to you. Can we meet in the commons in San Francisco? And it kind of like felt like being called out by somebody to like fight after school or something like that, you know? So I was a little unclear where things were going. And we sat down in the middle of the commons, and Shiraz was like really serious with me. He goes, did you create a Twitter branded Spotify account? I'm like, I don't know, man. I think we might have for the podcast or something like that. He's like, that was not good. And he worked me through why that was problematic. And then I said, well, like, can you just let this one pass? He's like, I'm not sure I can, but I'll see what I can do. And then about 15 minutes later, I got an email and he said, okay, we're going to let this one pass, but don't let it happen again. So that was a good lesson. And, you know, when you start out with somebody and you build those relationships, and just like, you know, you can break the rules here and there. So thank you for having our back, Shiraz.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm
all the time. I mean, always so proud and happy for all the success you had when you outgrew the SMB team, man.
Yeah, absolutely. VP L9 of revenue or L2 contractor, I will talk to you on an even playing field. Not a problem.
That was Shiraz's plan. That was Shiraz's plan. No. Joe, major respect. Major respect. Thank you. Tweeps, who want to just tell stories. This is just stories. Story time. We're keeping it posy here. No drums. No nothing. It's tweep therapy. If you want to speak, please request. Daniel, go ahead. Add you. If you got stories, drop them. All tweeps. I'm trying to, yeah, I'm calling people out too. Elaine, I see you. Ruth, I see you.
Can we need to get Elaine's epic tweet up on the
Yeah. Elaine, you got to get up here. Elaine,
give us the details behind Elaine, this tweet.
Accept this invite and tell you have amazing stories to tell.
Oh, 404 likes. Elaine, good job.
We got to get Parker up here. Is Parker awake?
He's on the West Coast, so he should be. Let me ping him.
We got to get Parker up here.
I'll send him this invite.
But yeah, tweeps, please request. We want to get you up here and tell some stories. Daniel, you still got your one team.
Yes, I do. Hey, how's it going? This is Daniel. I was on the privacy team. Shout out to the privacy team here. I see Damien on for y'all. Was on my best manager I've ever had in my lifetime. It's not even a manager. She's a friend. It's just been a good time working with all of you guys. And I think Twitter Alas and Twitter Open has been such a good experience for me. Working at Twitter, coming on as a contractor, then being a full-time employee. So my time at Twitter has been short-lived, but definitely has been full of experiences, making a lot of friends. And I cannot, I explain to my friends, they're like, we do this, we do that. They're like, how do you guys do work? And I'm like, it's just the Twitter way. And for y'all, I always mention, it's the Twitter way. So I think that's what I'm going to continue on with me. It's the Twitter way, and it's one thing that we all know, and it exists for sure.
100%.
All right, Pons.
Chris,
let's do it. The only reason I joined is because I need to hear from Parker. Like, he is...
right? Somebody get him. Where is he?
He is the lifeblood of everything, of all of us. Like, he's a genius.
Really? Really? Does everybody know Parker? Parker Lyons? Follow at Tweets by Parker. Let's put some Parker tweets up.
I've never had the opportunity to meet him or speak to him, but I need to.
100%. 100%. For those that don't know, follow Tweets by Parker. I hope he's awake and can come speak to us. But Chris, tell us some stories while you're here. Give us some anecdotes. You're OG too. You know what's been going down. Tell us something.
An OG tweet. I think I spooked Fonz a couple times when we had calls where I was just like, I don't know. Everything's crazy. I have no stories. I used to host Spaces. You remember Risha?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Yes.
Okay. But so here's my story. In the early days of Spaces, I joined a Risha space. And I was like funny enough for her. And she texted me or she messaged me on the side and said, hey, you just made that space really great. Would you ever want to like do something regularly? And I said, absolutely. This was way before she was an employee. So we started hosting a weekly space together. Just clowning on Spaces.
Not to interrupt, but Parker has entered the space.
Parker, okay. Come get his invite.
Let me.
I'm not a co-host. Fonz, you got to add him.
Bianca, just give me 1 second. So
no, go for it. Go for it.
Parker, you don't know me. I think you're a genius. You don't need to work in finance ever again. You can just be a funny person on social media and make money somehow. And if you can't figure that out for yourself, I will help you and take a commission. Parker, you're a genius.
There he is.
Let's hear from
him. That was kind of sketchy because Twitter just literally closed on me right when you said come speak. But good to hear from y'all. How's everyone doing?
You know, it's tweet therapy.
Yeah.
Shiraz is telling OG stories. Everybody's up here just, you know, keeping it posy, obviously. Lot going on, but you know, you have been as someone who works in social, you have been a hero, you know, in many ways. I think that's fair to say. So take us through how the senior financial analyst is like the voice of the tweeps. Like, how did this happen?
Because I mean, people in finance are funny. I think that's the that's what most people don't realize, but. No, I just love y'all a lot, and I think I've had some particular situations this year that have offered me kind of a lot of really good perspective on what's important, and what's important is keeping the energy up and keeping the people that I love feeling good as much as I possibly can. And so, you know, if that means cracking a few jokes when it seems it's almost impossible to, I'll do that. If it means saying some sentimental things, I'll do that. But I'm here for y'all with whatever capacity I can be, and. You know, hopefully that'll actually mean something over time, and I can help y'all with careers or whatever you want to do, because it's just so many smart, incredible people that work on dope shit that want to change the world. And I mean, we're never gonna have enough of that in the world. So if there's anything I can do other than just tweeting nonsense, I'm here for it.
Parker, I want to get into your process a little bit. That was beautiful. Thank you. How do you find the meme?
Chris is going full Barbara Walters on this.
Do you think of the tweet first and then you think of the video? Or because sometimes I'm like, how is this video so perfect? Like, give us the process.
All right. The main thing is I have an absolute arsenal in the bookmarks. So as soon as I find something like over time that I think will be funny, even if I don't know it just yet, Like I tag it. So eventually, you know, it's really not hard. The context has been writing itself recently, as y'all could probably figure. But, you know, I just have a ton of pretty funny, ridiculous videos and pictures saved up. And I don't know. Again, you got to relate it to the timeliness. That's the cool part about Twitter, right? It's game on when something happens. And so, you know, you'll catch me scrolling through the bookmarks trying to find something relatable and hoping that it works out.
Have you always been, I don't know you, so have you always been funny? Like, I'm just genuinely curious. Like, do people in your life find you funny? Because, like, it is perfection. So I'm just wondering.
I'm honored. Thank you. I don't know how to answer that because it's, like, the opposite of humble if you say that you're funny. I'd like to think that I'm funny. But, yeah, I think, again, just it's also like learning y'all's sense of humor too over time, right? So as more people have followed me, I've started to kind of understand what people respond to. And, you know, it's definitely not everything that I think is funny, but the things that I do, you know, I try to make it relevant and, you know, a little bit wider, a little edgy, but not too much, and kind of the right balance of timing. Yeah, that's the goal.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for your time, Parker. Fonz, I'm signing off as a speaker now.
Chris, you did amazing. Chris, you did amazing. Parker, I got you can obviously hang up here. I got to just ask you, did you ever want to work in social media? Or was this just like fun on the side?
I would say I love this industry and I love this type of work. Not necessarily like being on the content creation side, but I love this platform, and I love platforms like it, and I hope to work in that area for the rest of my life because I think just the way that you can kind of authentically connect with people in really creative and cool ways is probably the most important thing in being like intentional in how we do that for really humanity's sake is pretty epic. I'm going to pretend that I'm going to sign off here and do a hard pivot from finance over to content creation, but who knows? I might have some openings pretty soon, so we'll have to figure that out.
Listen, tweet it into existence, Parker. You know what it is. You know what it is.
For sure. I appreciate you and I appreciate y'all.
100%. Does everyone know that Parker actually his tweet is featured on merch by Chancery Daily?
Oh, no way.
It is. That's
a legend.
They did give me some swag. I'm taking no commissions off of it because I thought it was good payment for all of their like insane due diligence during this process. But so I told them that they can keep their $6 of commissions that I would have earned from
it. Listen, Chris Klotzbach is now going to take a percentage of that too, just so you know, Parker.
All good.
Appreciate you, bruv. But hang out with us. We got to pivot to Elaine, who yes. I think I can say is the smartest person I've ever met. And also, like her side hustle was being on Jeopardy. Like, she's, like, brilliant. Leads are amazing. Insights and analytics team. Elaine, you got stories for days, and you probably got data for days to back up these stories. That's going to blow people's minds. So, please.
All right, you're just gonna have to write my resume for me. Like, that was perfect. So if you want to just
I will manage you. Chris will manage Parker. I will manage you. We're going to the top. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a decade. So like, I've seen some stuff. I don't even know like where to go right now.
First thing that comes to mind.
Okay, maybe my best story or like my best posy story. Is in, what was it, 2013, I got to go to the Oscars for Twitter, and I was, like, Ooh. One of the last people there, because we had to give, I was, like, on the floor in the press room giving data to all the journalists who were there. Very, very good boondoggle, got to do it for the Grammys, too, but anyway, so since I was trying to, like, pitch every single reporter there our data, I was one of the last people left, and it was like the basement of the Dolby Theater, could not find my way out. Oh, and even if you're in the press room, you have to wear evening gowns. So I'm in like a full-on gown carrying my laptop, like trying to give reporters graphs. Can't find my way out. I open a random door, and start going down it. It is the red carpet, and I am walking behind Ben Affleck with his like Argo Best Picture Oscar and Jennifer Garner. Just, and I'm literally in like the back of a few of the Getty images and like a gown, my backpack, and my laptop. So yeah, that was a real highlight.
Do we have content of this? Because this is really important.
I gotta find some. I mean, this is like the old days. I gotta do some digging.
We need some content.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Yeah, Elaine's OG. I remember when I joined the comms team, and we were pretty tiny. Elaine was on the comms team. She was all of data. She was all of Twitter data. It was one person. That was her.
Yes. If you follow at Twitter data, all of that was Elaine, right? Right. Still,
but everything. She was MINA. Yeah. She was ops. She was
no. There all was MINA. They deserve respect. Like okay. I ended up joining them. But I'm gonna go out with them. But yeah.
Legend.
Yeah. It's been a journey. It has been a journey.
Elaine, I'm going to put you on the spot. A fun fact that people might not know about Twitter, just on the data front, like the most popular emoji, or, you know what? You know, you've got like these little gems.
Okay. Well, you know, I can't tell you the most popular emoji because next week we were going to do our year on Twitter data poll, so that's just not happening. So the world will never know the top emoji. The Tears of Joy was finally topped last year, I believe, by like actual tears. So that seems fitting. So that seems really fitting. Oh man, what else? I did the math one time, and I'm not actually going to cite it because I know, like, you know, no divulging internal data or whatever. But the percentage of total tweets that are BTS related was higher than one might expect.
I mean, is that a shock? Is it a shock?
I mean, like, anyone could do the math. You could query that data from the API. It's there. But yeah, that's a real good one.
This really is a BTS app. Let's be clear.
I saw an incredible tweet. It was probably one of you. So sorry, whoever I'm not crediting. That was like, the way to save Twitter is just to prevent BTS from joining the army. I was like, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's like, it took a hit on the South Korean economy, right? Like, billions of dollars, I think, is because they're going into the service. Anyway, won't go down that rabbit hole, but yes. Elaine, any other stories or just things you want to shout out? Or is there anybody you see in this space now that it is several hundred people that are tweeps that should come up here and talk to the crowd?
Man, no, I will happily turn it over to anyone. Sorry, I'm scrolling my own timeline trying to find my Oscars tweet just for a little group here.
I'll say something.
Yeah. Do it.
Yes. Hi, I'm Julianne. I'm she, her. I'm on curation, or I was. And I see some of the people on curation here. And I just wanted to send everybody so much love because we were doing such great work. We were really thoughtful. I was doing and a lot of my team were describing the trends and contextualizing them because we had fandoms like BTS and they're so fucking cute. Honestly, ARMY is so cute. They get angry and confused just like everybody else on there. But her team was really doing the best we could to try to.
Julianne, can you tell people a little more about what curation is and what y'all do? I don't know that everybody knows.
Most of the people on curation used to be journalists, and we do a lot. We contextualize information, and we try to explain it so that everybody understands what's happening and that it's not biased. And yeah, so that we give them the right information, and we try to make everything healthy, which is obviously impossible because people are just like mad for no fucking reason. But, things like that. And so we have so many nice people I see on this call, and they're wonderful, and it has been an honor.
You guys are amazing. And to add to that, all the Twitter moments that you see in the Explore tab, that's curation. They put all that together. They are, you know, an incredible group of individuals who work around the clock 24/7. You can't imagine what it's like during election cycles and various things where they're making, helping make sense of all the energy and conversation on the platform, from explaining what a trend is to, you know, picking sort of the best tweets to like encapsulate a conversation. It's incredible what y'all do. So major, major shout out to the curation team.
Yeah, I want to echo that. Curation is some of the most important work that goes on at Twitter. I mean, you think about kind of like the reactionary like piece of Twitter and how quickly people respond to really big news. And I mean, that's an incredibly difficult job to not filter that, but also just make sure that like what's the conversation's healthy. Y'all are literally the front lines of that, which is some of the hardest work in the world and probably the least thanked. So allow us to at least thank you for that.
Okay, you should have thanked us sooner, but I will totally accept it.
Sorry.
Thanks.
All right, I'm bringing up Cambria. We got it here. We got it here.
Oh, my God. Hi, you guys. I love this company so much. I've been here for just over 9 years. I just messaged Shiraz because Brian Laker, the actual sauce, is on. And I know you guys were looking for speakers, and I shouldn't be it. It should be the sauce.
Absolutely, we need the sauce. But I know you got stories. You've been here almost as long as me. Well, I'm gone now, so whatever. But I know you got some stories. There's got to be one. Maybe like sales conference. Give me something. Adam Bain, I don't care. Dick Costolo, like what do you got?
Oh, man. You're putting me in a tough spot because a lot of my stories are secrets, you know?
This is the time.
But also, yeah, I do have stories. I don't know my fate yet. So let me come back and call in the sauce for now.
Fair enough. What's your favorite piece of swag that you've ever gotten?
I've got a lot of swag. I stole do you remember the Darella times where he just had like random hashtag, like wooden hashtag, like signs all around the office?
Yeah.
I stole hashtag grit.
No way. Yeah. That was you?
Yeah. Stole it. Took it. Thought it was fun. It's honestly, it's really ugly decor. I got rid of it like a year later, but I felt really proud of that.
Well earned.
Thanks.
Well earned.
Thanks, Roz.
Okay. Well, I got to find Brian Laker. I'm scrolling here.
I added him. He hasn't accepted.
You need to get Laker up. He is truly.
I requested him to speak.
Let's go. Let's go, Laker. Get up here.
I also added Brian Emmons. I see you, my guy. Brian Emmons, get up here.
Brian Laker's also not good on demand, but
it's also one of the funniest. It's 2:40. I'm in a hotel room by the airport in Philly because I was at the World Series last night. And
okay, Laker, don't romantic. Share too much information. We don't want to actually know.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know. Okay. But maybe someone can help me because my computer is not working. Do you have like a number for me to call? Does anyone know? Do I call somebody?
It's disconnected.
Oh.
We might have to reach out to the operator, Mr. Emun.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I got. I do think maybe I'll tweet a final sauce tomorrow.
No, you got to give us something, Laker. It's 2:40 in the a.m.
Hey, you got to tell us how you made the sauce.
So,
got to give us something.
So I got. So if you know John Carroll, anyone knows he actually named the sauce.
Oh yes,
he's an incredible human being and funny as hell, and we made the sauce during COVID because JP was like, dude, we got to start sharing what's going on, and I used to write it every day, and I've got if for those that on here that don't, I've, you know, I had little kids at home. I was losing my mind. I was like, hey, like, let's just make it fun. Who wants to read a boring, like, hope this finds you well email, you know? And I was like, so let's just have a little bit of fun. And it was, I don't know. People enjoyed it. So I just kept going And yeah, it was a ton of fun to do.
And Brian, just explain what the sauce is.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For the crowd.
So it was just an internal newsletter that said, hey, here's what's going on, what we're doing in business marketing. And it would go to the sales folks and a bunch of other friends, wonderful people.
But it was literally one of the most positive things you could read during COVID. Like, as boring as Brian just made it sound, it was the opposite side of that. Like, it was so good. I would be so stoked for the sauce days.
Thank you, Cam. I'm not good at selling it, you know? It's just, but it was fun. And, yeah, it's, this place has always been about the people. It doesn't change, you know?
100%.
Yeah. All right.
Appreciate you, Brian.
Thank you for staying up late. Thanks for calling me
Get up. Some rest. Get some rest. I also want to shout, Gladys, I have been inviting you to speak for the last 20 minutes. Get up here. Talk about it. We need folks from our IND team. This is super important. I really, really want everybody to hear from you. Where are you? There you are. All right, Gladys. Talk about everything, all the things. Please. It's important.
I've been ignoring them because I hate public speaking.
Ugh. Sorry. The time has come.
Hi. I'm not a tweep anymore, though.
Tell us
me neither.
None
me
of
neither.
Us are
fine. No.
Tell us some stories. Tell us some stories. Some of your favorite moments. We're keeping it positive.
My favorite. There's so many. I started in October 2019. And the first project that James LaDuca, the most amazing boss ever, gave me, he said, you know, there's something called One Team. The whole company's getting together in Houston. I want you to plan 8 BRG events. And
wait, explain BRGs.
Oh, yes. BRGs, business resource groups. At the time, Twitter had 8 or 9. So think of Blackbirds, Twitter Alas, Twitter Open, Women, Able, Stripes. I know I'm missing some, but it was for all those communities. And he said, I want 8 events on the same night at One Team in Houston. Go. And the One Team planning team had already been months ago, because this event had already been in the works for a whole year. This was late October, and the One Team was happening in Houston in January. So I was like, okay, cool. I can do that. And I flew to Houston, Texas by myself, and looked up all the Black-owned businesses, Latino-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, LGBTQ-owned businesses I could find, and worked with the BRG event chairs to find venues, ask them what they wanted their events to look like. They wanted photo booths, what kind of DJs. I worked with Sayo. Sayo was like, we want karaoke for Blackbirds. Alice was like, we want a Colombian DJ. I forget. But One Team comes in January, and every single BRG had their own event curated as they wanted. We ran around Houston, Texas. James and Delana were in a cab running to all events. Bonds, I think you were at the Blackbirds one, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Legendary.
And it was
so good.
I worked at a bank before Twitter, and it was just so special to see people show up however they showed up. I was wearing slacks and heels because I was at a bank, so that was my culture. And people were in jeans, they were in shorts, y'all are tweeps. But it was such a special, special night to see everyone enjoy themselves, be with their community. Staff was at all of them too. I remember Mike Montano and Dantley were at the Blackbirds one. Ned showed up to the Alas one and spoke Spanish and Portuguese.
Oh,
it was impressive. It was beautiful to see how everyone showed up for one another. And that kicked off One Team for us. And it was just really, really special. And I'm so grateful I got to experience that.
And I'm sure every one of us, you know, who are tweeps could speak to the amazing work our diversity and inclusion team do. I think that this type of work, I think, gets a little like maligned in, you know, popular culture sometimes. It's like, you know, whatever. And I just have to say, like, creating a sense of connectivity and inclusiveness based on whatever background or identity or anything that you, you know, are a part of is super difficult. This is not easy work, especially in a place that's, you know, a business enterprise. Let's not get it twisted. And mm-hmm. Gladys, you and your team are by far the greatest experience I've ever had. I'm sure so many other troops could come up here and share their stories. But the spaces that you created made it feel like, you know, everybody's like, you know, work is not a family and all that stuff. And I get that, you know, you do need to have some like healthy boundaries to a certain point. But like, it absolutely can and is at its best when it feels like a community. And you guys do that and made that happen for so many people. So I just want to say thank you. I don't know if anybody else wants to jump in.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that, Fonz. I mean, it's the whole idea team. There's so many folks on the team that work so hard to make that happen. And it's tweeps as well, right? I mean, I am no longer at Twitter. Haven't been for a couple months now. I'm now at Google. And it is hard. It's so hard to create that sense of community. Twitter was so special in that way. Gosh, now I'm going to get emotional, but the tweeps, the team, the dedication of everyone is what made this company so, so special. But we're all still here and we still have community with one another. And I'm just so excited that it's still so strong. I mean, it's 2:49 a.m. from where I am, and I don't think I'm going to sleep anytime soon. But thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for being up so late. Lindsay Iannucci.
Hey,
we got heavy hitters up here.
You got to go where the tweeps are, you know. I see good people talking. I want to talk to good people.
This is big. This is big. Lindsay, I don't know, where can we begin with you, your journey? I feel like a lot of people don't know. Like, I think they just see you doing amazing things all the time, and they don't really know, like, the origin story. Can you tell us how you got to Twitter in the first place?
I'm not gonna lie. I like to play it in the background. I like to stay in the background. That's like any good operations person just wants to kind of sit in the back, do the work, and enjoy the fun. Yeah, I've only been here 3 years, believe it or not. Every person I say that to, they're like, "No, surely it's been longer." But honestly,
I think the last 3 years count as like 15, Lindsay. Like,
definitely, definitely. Dog years or tweep years. There's something going on there.
100%. Okay, so origin story, please. Go.
So I joined Twitter in December of 2019. So Gladys is just talking about one team. I was a brand new tweep. I literally did not know anyone. And I showed up to Houston, and I'm an extreme extrovert for anyone who knows me. And it was like the world's greatest reunion in which you're the only person who doesn't know anyone. It was actually painful for an extrovert because I was like, everyone's having the best time of their life. Everyone's seeing all of their favorite people in the world. It was palpable. You could feel it. And I was like, all right, I left Google, but I'm already excited for this. So it was quite the way to start. Of course, 2 months later, COVID started. So I had to really hold on to that feeling in my heart for quite a while before we got to do our own in-person things. But yeah, Twitter's been such just like nothing I've ever experienced in my career. It's such a special place. I'm going to miss it.
100%. And I think, so Lindsay, could you go, we've talked about one team a little bit. I don't think we've really explained it. Can you explain it to people? I know it's hard to explain, but yeah.
To explain because it's like at least three things, right? Like, yes, right. It is a specific event that we do, you know, every couple of years where we bring the whole company together. Obviously, the last one was in 2020 because of COVID. One Team's also what we call our monthly meeting, where we all get together and we share cool things that the company's been doing. We get to hear from BRGs. We get to talk to each other. We get to hear about, you know, all the progress we're making and what's happening on the platform. And then One Team is also just the vibe. It's the culture. It's how we talk to each other. It's how we refer to each other. And it's just the thing that you feel connected to. If you've been at Twitter for, you know, a short time, a long time, it's just, you know, I'm sure even people who don't work at Twitter, anyone who follows us probably knows all of our hashtags, all of our sayings. There's a lot of love where you work, love where you worked going on right now, and a lot of One Team love.
That's a beautiful articulation of it. So Lindsay, like, you operate at an altitude that few do at Twitter, right? You see everything. You make so many things happen. What's like the one magical thing that you think people maybe don't know or appreciate that we should let people know?
It's something that I saw in my very first month at Twitter, and it kind of blew me away. So my boss at the time was Bruce Felk, and he was out on paternity leave, and he gave me this long list of one-on-ones to do. And I'm like, all right, this is gonna be a little weird. I'm new. I don't even have my boss to introduce me. And in all my meetings, I'm like, hi, I run, you know, strategy and operations, and I wanna figure out what's going on. I wanna figure out, you know, how do we make it better? And people just like laid it out. Here's everything that's broken. How do we fix this? How do we jump in? Like, there was no, you know, there was no pride behind it. It was like, oh, great, you're here to help us. Awesome. Here's all the stuff we need help with. I think that sense of kind of openness, transparency, and like, honestly, collaboration, it makes a big difference, right? Especially if you're in an operational role, people just being able to tell you like what the dirt is, what the problems are, and like want you to fix them. That's actually kind of unique. And it's a thing where it's like you see it and come out in so many different ways in Twitter, where people just, you know, we've got the same goals. We're trying to accomplish the same things, maybe all a little bit differently, but you kind of know that we're all solving the same problems, and you see that. You see how people want to help each other.
1,000,000,000%. DJ, I know you got comments. Go.
Well, I, you know, you were talking about One Team, and I just wanted to share my favorite little anecdote that I think is important, which is, if you think about One Team, and if you think about the original core values, I know there's probably a lot of folks here who never worked under those, but they still really informed a lot of the culture. I think it's interesting to observe both of those things were created by rank and file. And I think that's why they worked. And I think that's why they were so special. There were a lot of people pre-Jack who used One Team. I was exposed to the sales strategy perspective was folks on the team that eventually became Twitter Next, you know, the group that kind of became the CMO org. But, Joel in those days, he would use One Team to refer to those groups together. And when Jack came back, I remember forwarding an email to Bain saying, you know, this is something everybody needs to hear. We need a software engineer and someone on the marketing team to have the same rallying cry. And that's how it started. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why it was so sticky is it wasn't ever top down. It was always bottom up. And even before I arrived, you know, those original core values, they were created by employees to reflect the things that they saw and that they wanted to preserve. And so, you know, it's bittersweet because it was amazing. But I think the two things that give me some comfort are that they are so, you know, they are authentic in that they were created from the people who needed to live them every day. And they are everlasting because since they were something we created, we get to kind of take them with us wherever we go.
Oh man, I'm gonna get emotional, DJ. You need to chill. Like,
you guys know I have no fucking chill. Come on.
That's why you're here.
Oh,
that's,
you know what? Speaking of DJ,
wait, tell us, chill. DJ, about the soap.
Okay, we're gonna jump to the soap story.
No, so, okay.
No.
You have to, DJ.
DJ, DJ, DJ.
Okay, all right.
DJ.
But only because you asked tonight.
Let me set the stage a little bit. So for those that don't know, Twitter pretty open. used to be anyway. We could have, you know, our weekly, we call it tea time, but it was basically a Q&A session. You could ask staff whatever you want. You'd get company updates, and, you know, the whole company would come together in this giant all hands, and we would, you know, just get updates on what was going on, what are we working on, what's working, what's not working, and kind of go from there. And at the end, like many tech companies have these, you can ask staff or any employee anything you wanted and kind of get a little bit more clarity. Well, I think DJ, and I've been here at Twitter for a long time, so I've seen a lot of these Q&As where people raise their hand, and I have never been taken back with such gratitude to the grace that DJ had when he asked Jack Dorsey. I mean, maybe it was more of a statement, but
at this point, so like, here's how I see it, and I look forward to the DMs from, I don't know, Casey Newton or Kurt Wagner, who want to clarify the story, to which I have no comment. But we had just had the first big one team event in 2018, and I joined in late 2013, and there was a lot of stuff that happened, right? The company went public, and then it started to struggle. It was given a lot of crap in the press, that some of which was fair and some of which was unfair. But by the time that we got to the one team in 2018, it really felt like we had turned a corner. And that felt really good. And it felt like leaving Moscone Center. It was like, okay, we have a vision, we have a purpose, we have a leadership team, and it's kind of time to it's now we've paid off some of those debts, and now it's time to do some real work. And motherfucker, not a week passes by, and Tim Cook is talking about deplatforming Alex Jones, and I don't want to get too into it because it's a pretty triggering subject. But obviously, he was spreading so much misinformation about the Newtown tragedy, and he was being deplatformed. And Jack, in his infinite wisdom, wrote like one of the most ham-fisted emails that one could ever like tell Siri to type out. If I recall correctly, it started with "look." It was like "look."
That's accurate.
You know,
that's
right? Correct. It was like and look, to be clear. You know, there was some validity to what he was saying. The spirit of the email was, we need to make sure that we make decisions based on the things that we see ourselves on our own products, not necessarily what other people are doing, which like, yeah, sure, I'll argue about that in the margins, but like, that's a reasonable message. The way it was delivered was so fucking horrible. And the thing that made it particularly bad, it was like, your marketing team and your comms team and your internal team, so many people sprinted to hand you this culture and this group of excited employees on a platter, and they just left. And now you're gonna go ruin it? You're gonna go squash it? Well, at one team that week, it had opened with him kind of saying like, well, I'm not necessarily the most charismatic, so I'm bringing you a host, an MC for this one team that is, and it out walks, you know, Marcia Dorsey, who was kind of our host for the week. And so towards the end, they were having some fun and they were telling some stories. And Marcia told this story. And
wait,
and
DJ, clarify, yeah, who Marcia is, though.
Oh, Marcia is Jack's mom. Thank you. So Jack's mom walks out on stage and she's our MC for the week. And she was adorable and great and did a great job. And then towards the end, they're asking her some questions around like, so what was Jack like as a kid? And this story gets out, and someone make sure I'm not screwing this up, but it was basically that Jack and his brother were playing with puppets in his room upstairs, and all of a sudden Marcia, his mom and dad, heard his brother screaming, and it's because his brother had like fallen off the bed and was bleeding, and Jack was still playing with the puppets. And his mom was like, what are you doing? Your brother's like on the floor bleeding. He's like, well, the show must go on. And so this was told to all of us. And then Marcia concluded by saying, like, I think that's the only time I ever made him wash his mouth out with soap. So anyway, file that one away for later. Go back to, it's now a week after this happened. The Alex Jones stuff has happened. All like, it feels like just a punch in the gut after all of this positive motivation. And so I go down to Walgreens at 9th and Market, and I buy a bar of Irish Spring. And so when there is this moment at this all hands where he's like, you know, I know this is really tough, but we got to make tough decisions, I walk right up to him and I walk past the mic and I hand him this bar of Irish Spring. And I go back to the mic and I said, a gift for you. And something to the effect of, and I'm sure I wasn't as eloquent as I wanted to be, but something to the effect of, you know, your words have an impact on people. By the nature of who you are, the things you say matter, and they matter maybe a little bit more than you think they do. And so if you're going to write to a room filled with parents, you gotta have some more empathy, my dude. So yeah, that's the soap story. And you know what? I'd do it again.
I mean, just the fact that you had the soap ready in your pocket, you right. walked up to it. This we're at the end of the Q&A. It's a really heavy, you know, all hands that we've just had. Lots of like really sensitive topics, of course. This thing is being live streamed to the entire company. And DJ walks up on stage and hands Jack a box of Irish Spring and tells him to wash his mouth. I mean, what better way to end an all hands?
DJ, I don't think you know this, but that was one of my first one teams, two times I've ever attended. And so I was like, what the hell am I getting into?
I don't know what to say, but you're fucking welcome, man. And I have to say, you know, I think I, you know, like any good boy from New Jersey, I like to be persistent and obnoxious. And so I think that I let myself do that once or twice a year. And some other greatest hits definitely included asking Noto how many days we were going to still be left in business, which I think helped introduce like angry Noto, which was a really great phase that I mean that very sincerely of leadership. So proud of that one. Definitely poked Mama Leslie a few times saying like, so your name's on the driver for all of this? Just checking.
Yes. Yes.
I remember. That was what made our culture great, and I hope that with the few times that I was a bit of a pain in the butt, that it allowed everybody else to do so in a way that drove the business forward, protected the users, grew the business in a way we made us proud.
DJ, legend, truly.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always. We, again, we're just doing some tweet therapy. We've been up here for a minute. I know it's getting pretty late on all coasts, U.S. This is for tweeps. Again, we're keeping it posy, keeping it light, share some stories, share some memories. I see some people who may or may not want to come up, but I'm going to send them some invites. Feel free. Shiraz, Bianca, Parker, you see anyone you want to pull up?
I see some folks, but
I feel like Lara Cohen's got some stories. Lara, I invited you to speak. Get up here, girl.
Listen.
100%. She's got the story.
Listen. Well, Lara's your call. But we'd love to hear a golden memory if you'd like to share one. Who else? Oh, there she is. All right. This is the main event, y'all. Hi, Lara. Oh, can she hear me?
Oh, yep. Oh, I'm sorry. I still can't figure out how to work spaces.
No. Hello.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. Love you all. Good to be here. I don't know what stories you want me to share.
Oh, come on. So many. It's tweet therapy. As long as
Lara, it's healing. Talk about how much you loved when we all demanded Beyonce at Houston.
I found out later that was like that, like me being like you're. I did find out later that like when I stepped in the stage at one team and I told the company that you're all fucking annoying for asking for Beyonce, that like someone filed an ER investigation about that.
Oh my god.
Yes. We didn't get Beyonce, but we got Elon. in Houston, so
Roz, keep it up. Above the line. Other stories. Lara, you tell the people what you do too, because I don't feel like people really understand the magic of you and your squad.
My team.
Incredible.
My team, my mostly former team, we were the partners team. We represented public figures across news, entertainment, sports, and creators. Just, you know, everyone thinks that their own team at Twitter was the best team, is the best team, but I'm very confident that my team was
the best. And I'm just honored to have worked with all of them. Just, you know, nights and weekends, people locked out of their account, need help on the platform, getting trolled on the platform. Just the irony of my team is that everyone thought that what we did was super glamorous and like, you know, like, oh, you're the celebrity team, whatever. But like, a lot of what we did was just really gnarly, like just like helping people out, you know, taking stuff, helping get stuff down off the platform for folks. And I'm just very, very deeply proud of my team. So that's where I'm at tonight. Just thinking a lot about them.
100%. And I just want to plus one on everything to co-sign. The squad, the partner squad, incredible, making magical things happen with purely the strength of relationships.
Yeah, never, right? never a dollar paid. Like, you know, like never a dollar paid, just by the virtue of like great relationships, working with you guys on social, like got the biggest stars in the world to come do great stuff for us. So I'm just really proud of all of them. And here's the thing, I will leave with this message. I was thinking a lot about like what I'm saying to my team is that like a lot of us defined ourselves by this job at Twitter, probably too much, you know, realistically. In hindsight, I think we're going to all do some reflection on that. But the reality is that like we define the company, truly, like we really did, all of us collectively together. And, you know, whatever the company is now, it'll be defined a different way because so many of us are not there anymore. But I just want everyone here to like have the pride that like we made the company what it is. And I feel very, very strongly about that. So love you guys. It's super late.
It is. True words spoken by Lara. Lara, we appreciate you.
We love you, Lara.
Love you guys.
And love you. And you may not have been here earlier, but there was Megan Thee Stallion twerking with the Popeye's chicken sandwich story. It wouldn't have happened without Lara and her team.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
Gift. That. The legacy. That is your one of the many. That's my legacy.
Legacy. Everyone should know that Chrissy checked in on me tonight, you know?
Oh, wait, tell the people. Can you tell a Chrissy story just before you go? Can you tell?
Chrissy.
Like,
oh, God. So many Chrissy stories. I said I would still try to get her a friends and family plan for her and John for verification, you know? Even though I'm no longer at the company, I do my best. There are a lot of stories about Chrissy. I mean, like Chrissy was just like, you know, I think Chrissy is like the best of who the platform is in a lot of ways. You know, she was like always honest and herself in the platform. So I don't know. What stories should I tell about Chrissy? Chrissy also fucked up like more than one of my family vacations. Like she would always be in a crisis like whenever I would attempt to go anywhere with my family, and I'd be like on my phone, and my husband would threaten to murder me. But yeah, she like when she quit Twitter, it was like I was like in Hawaii with my family. And like the whole entire company was like emailing me like, did you know about Chrissy? I'm like, yes, I know about Chrissy. But we got her back, you know.
Lara, tell her about the cake.
Lara Cohen magic.
What was the cake? I remember.
You guys sent her a blank cake.
Oh, yeah. We said, what was that for? Bianca, I remember. We sent her cake.
The Grammys?
She said she was having a Grammy party and we sent her that really ugly cake. I don't remember. I don't know.
Oh, you should know, Larry. You should tell the Ariana story.
Oh, thank you, Vote.
Yeah.
Oh, this is you. I mean, this was you. This was brilliant. It was like Ariana Grande was like huge on Twitter, like the whole thank you next meme with Kris Jenner, that whole thing. And it was right around election 2020. And
We thought it'd be great to have her. We were doing a whole like get out the vote campaign, and we worked with her to do like a whole thank you vote thing. And then we sent her, we had the idea of like gifts that we could give celebrities who are really great on Twitter, like publishers clearinghouse style tweets, you know? So we sent her a thank you vote. That was your idea, Bianca. It was so good. And she tweeted it and put it on her Instagram, everything else. Yeah.
No, we did some. We sent her like a literal giant tweet. Yeah. Like huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
At Twitter tweeted thank you vote. After her thank you next.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I have to. This week has been a lot. So I have to like definitely take some time to remember so many good stories. But yeah. No. Oh, I see Allison Peters is on here. You know, Allison Peters is on here. She was the original person who had the idea to start live tweeting with Kerry Washington for Scandal. Shout out to Allison.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Allison. Come on up. Shout out to Allison Peters. Shout out to Allison Peters. It was her idea. Totally changed Twitter history forever. So, Allison, I'm kicking it to you and I'm getting off. Bye, guys. Love you.
Love you. Bye. Thank you, Lara. Allison, request, come tell these stories. Also, Julie Steele, you're not going to hide. You got to tell some stories. You're like one of the big heartbeats of all of Twitter. I've invited you 14 times in the last 10 minutes. Please accept. Come share something to the people. You have kept us going through so much. Please, please, please say yes. Say something. The people need to hear from Julie Steele. Do it, Julie, Julie, accept the invite. Yes. Yay.
Julie. I mean, after Julie. An introduction like that, how could I say no? Oh my gosh. So glad. Come on,
Julie. Fonz, where's the air horn? Let's get the air horn ready.
I know.
Charles, let's
drop.
Come on. There you go.
There we go.
Oh my goodness. It's so late here, but of course I'm on Twitter and I can't stop. And when I saw this space, I was just so excited. So it's great to see everybody and be a part of this.
So just for everybody's knowledge, Julie leads our internal comms team, but really like that's not an accurate like way to describe what Julie does for Twitter. Twitter functioned like on the back of Julie, like especially over the past, you know, through COVID. I mean, you guys, like everything you did to innovate, to keep people together and all this stuff and the way information. Anyway, so I'm hyping you up, but I would love for you to share something again that people probably don't know that's magical about Twitter, because you are a huge part of that.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what's magical about Twitter? Everything. But I think one moment that really stands out to me was after we all, you know, were sent home during COVID, and we were kind of rethinking how we were going to do our internal comms and, you know, really just going back to the drawing board with so many things. And so when we decided to move one team to Google Hangouts and we introduced the Slack channel, I felt like that was a moment. I mean, the type of real-time engagement, like the way that everyone felt connected during the one team meetings, the jokes, the emojis, the support, the love, it was so unlike, and for those of you who attended One Teams before that, I mean, it was like night and day, and it really brought the company together in a way we hadn't seen before. And it was so obviously, you know, we kept doing it even after offices reopened. But that was such a special moment, you know, kind of in a moment of crisis and panic when we didn't know exactly what was going to work. And we found a magical moment in our One Teams. And I was just sitting back smiling that whole time, just so in love with Twitter and all of you. So that was a special moment for sure.
And Julie, remind me, how many years of Twitter you've seen?
Four. Yeah, just a little bit over four. So yeah, I started in San Francisco, and then when COVID happened, I moved out to Dallas. So I'm one of the, you know, work from anywhere tweeps. So I got to move back home and be close to family. But oh my gosh, I mean, the growth, like right. the person I started, I mean, 4 years ago when I started at Twitter, I am not the person that I was then. I've learned so much. I have been through so much. And I don't know, that's where so much of my gratitude comes from, really. So many opportunities. And yeah, I'm just
Julie, grateful. We're so grateful Julie, for you. Julie, seriously, like of all the people that we're grateful for, like Julie, like seriously. And I know this week with it being quiet, I know had to really hurt you. And yeah. like,
yeah,
just know that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah. No, you know, we were talking about in my team. We're like, we know what great comms looks like. We know what great internal comms looks like. And yeah, you know, you want to be helpful and you want to contribute. And we just, you know, that's not the way that Twitter does comms, but I know for the last 4 years, you guys have seen our team in action, and that's what I'm so proud of. And that's what I'm remembering.
And there's so many moments in the last 4 years that were really tough in the world. And I know, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I'll be more skeptical of doing this in the future, but damn, if you and your team didn't get me through some of that real mm-hmm. tough stuff, right? Thinking about, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll never forget how like kind of our first fully distributed one team in March 2020, and what an act of service and kindness that was to give all of us a little bit of mental space. And that's just one example of so many times where it went beyond just communicating what needed to be known, but also making people feel seen and giving them space. And it was just mm-hmm. so powerful. So many thanks to you and so many other people who made that happen.
Oh my gosh. It was our honor and privilege. And I'm just so glad to hear that those are moments you guys remember too. And things that, you know, made Twitter feel special to you, because that's all we want, you know, is to just bring our culture to life in those ways. And so that makes me really proud to hear. Thank you.
It's just a Julie love fest.
Oh my gosh.
This is the most healing.
Okay, wait, I have one more story. So I
yes,
remember.
Yes, go, go, go. All the stories, please.
Well, it's about COVID again. But so I remember I was on a work trip to New York. And before I decided to come home, I actually stopped in LA for the weekend to visit some friends and participate in a bachelorette party. And I remember that's the weekend where shit, you know, really started to go down. And I remember pulling up my laptop, sitting on the floor of the airport near the closest, you know, outlet that I could find. And we're literally working on this communication saying, you know, you're going home and until further notice. And I just remember it was like an iconic email, you know, but I was sitting on the airport floor writing that email, and then, you know, working on the FAQ of like what any question employees might have, like literally just pouring onto the page, anything we could think of. And so it was just pretty funny coming, you know, going to a bachelorette party and working on COVID comms. But it was such a moment. I know everybody kind of has stories of where you were when things kind of went sideways, but that, it was all about Twitter for me in that moment and getting you guys that info. So anyway, that was another one.
Legit holding the entire company together mm-hmm. with y'all's tenacity. Again, Twitter moves at such a pace, and, you know, we feel we're sort of at the nervous center of global culture and consciousness, and that impacts you and how you communicate and help us make sense of it. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible and outstanding. And you've just been such a steadying force throughout all of this. So thank you, Julie.
Truly. I think that's what's been making this week so hard too, right? Because we're so used to having like, some awesome like sound comms. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like almost like before I get frustrated by something that's going on, I got used to expecting something in my inbox that explains what's going on.
Yeah.
So it was so proactive on y'all's part, and that's what we got used to. So shame on y'all for getting us used to good internal comms. but thank you so much.
Yeah. I'll take it. No, that also makes me feel so grateful. And I know I speak for my whole team when I say, you know, how much we really care about our work and about all of you. And really, you're the driving force. And you guys are, you know, we want to help and we want to make this culture the best it can be. And so it was hard. But I also have a lot of proud moments to look back on as well. So, you know, carrying me through.
100%. 100%. Julie, I hate to ask you for one more thing, but like, can you, because you've seen how the connective tissue of people who have worked at Twitter sort of, even after they leave Twitter, continues. Mm-hmm. What's been the coolest thing, if anything comes to mind that you've seen from that? Because I know you're at the nexus of a lot of those connections mm-hmm. that remain.
Oh my gosh. I mean, just, it's an unbreakable bond. And I really feel like once you're a tweep, you're always the tweep. And I have gotten even so many messages in the last couple hours from folks, you know, that haven't been at Twitter in years, but everyone is, you know, offering help. Let me know what I can do. I'll be a sounding board. You know, I think in these really tough moments and when things are really public, you know, that's when the network, you know, it comes to life. And it's not just about, you know, your coworkers in the moment. I mean, we're truly a family and we, you know, it spans years and years. And I am just so, it's beautiful to see so many people coming out in support of all of us and just offering what they can, but it's incredible. And it comes to life on Twitter too, which I love, you know? So it's like for everyone to see, for everyone to interact with. And it's, the timeline is just filled with so much love. So.
So feel good. Oh my gosh.
Sorry. I'm real sappy tonight. I know.
Everybody's like puking, you know, over this sincerity. No, but it's real. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity and pushing me. I was like, I'm just going to listen tonight. But, you know, thank you. It was great to talk to everyone.
Appreciate it. Wow. well, hang out if you want. I want to call up a few other people. Again, we've been up here for a minute, so we won't go too much longer. At least I need to go finish this bottle of wine. But I wanted
is it fledgling wine, Fonz? Which what are we talking
fledgling
about?
Fledgling wine? No, this is Ashley gave this to me. Old Clarete. Where is this from? Ashley, I forget.
Fonz, when you
I'm not a wine connoisseur. I just drink it when I need it. You know. That's,
I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. What I'm asking though is it Twitter wine? Like we used to get when we were first.
You're dating yourself, sure.
I'm too old.
You're dating yourself.
I've been here too long.
What is Twitter wine?
Old heads.
Yeah. So, who wants to like meet in Dolores Park and open the wine tomorrow? You can find me on the fruit shelf with this thing. It's probably less wine and more balsamic vinegar at this point.
I was gonna say, does it grease your engine better than gets you drunk at this point? Like that sounds. Twitter wine sounds a little soft.
It would be a fitting way to end the week.
Totally. I got to call out Rishi because you've been here and you are not going to dodge this speaker invite. You got to come up here.
Yeah, get him up here.
You also have he's an excellent voice, you know, like he's got like a radio spaces voice. Rishi, thank you. Get up here, share some stories. You know, you love to talk to the people when you have a beautiful spirit that we all appreciate. So give us a story. You're muted.
He's thinking, Fonz. Just give the man a moment.
Oh, come on.
It's been a week. He's
been in this space for an hour. He knows exactly what he wants. Come on.
I've been here literally for less than 5 minutes.
Stop.
Let's be real here for a second. False. But I've been here for less than 5 minutes and I already had 50 fucking invites to this thing.
Yes.
So first thing I got to do is massive, massive shout out to just a lot of people, ex-tweeps out here, and other people that have been doing stuff with spaces. Like, shout out Theo, shout out Fro, shout out Blackbeard, shout out Liz. Like, we have, shout out Heather. Like, so much love to everyone that's hanging out with us tonight. That's a good time, you know, and that's a lot of love. But yeah, it's really great to have us all come together and talk for a little bit and just hang out and have a good time. So that's really good to hear. Fonz, what question do you have for me? Go on.
All right, Risha, you occupy a really unique space in Twitter, gaming Twitter, you and Shiraz.
Gamers rise up. Rishi. Gamers. Brown boys, let's go.
You know.
We run this. So
we're not going to go too deep into this because everybody's going to leave this space and it's going to turn into something else. No, I'm teasing. But like, seriously, like, you have really pioneered this at Twitter. And I think, you know, just like so many other people, built a genuine community through just relationships and the time spent. And it's just one of those things that's so person powered that I don't think people really know. So I'd love if you have some stories there just to share, like how you came to this, how it's been, some of your favorite moments. Like, I think that'd be so dope for everyone.
I'll talk about one of my favorite moments, just being a tweet, and I'm going to throw a little bit on blast, but it's so great. Was when I was applying for this role originally, was for my original role, was they were like, oh yeah, you know, you have to be in San Francisco and you have to be out here. And then I interviewed and I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot, and I interviewed and everything. And then Fro reached out and like, she's like, hey, I'd love for you to meet with me in Santa Monica. And she's like, I don't care where you live. I don't care where you do.
Wait. Recent, can you explain who Fro is?
Laura Froelich used to be the head of U.S. sports and global sports as well, and then became the head of U.S. partnerships for Twitter. And now she's enjoying her life out in San Diego. I'm very envious because I love San Diego. And when I first met with her, she was like, I don't care where you live. It would be great if you're close to a Twitter office, but it'd be great. Like, we just want you here. We think you're doing really great things, and I would love to have you on the team. And just having that sense of, like, you're a good person doing amazing things, I want you on the team, was one of the most gratifying experiences of my life. And so for me, that was really important. And I think about that stuff every day. And so I'm really grateful for that, in the sense of, that woman gave me an opportunity to do something really amazing at Twitter, which is a very, very important platform to me. I mean, I met my wife through this platform, and, you know, I'm so grateful for that. So all these opportunities that I've had through this platform is really exciting, and it's been a really interesting time right now. And, but I know that at the end of the day, I always look and think very fondly of what we've experienced through this platform.
Wait, I didn't know you met your wife through Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
She slid it. Slid in my DMs, and we broke the DM limit. There is a DM limit. We broke it.
What?
We broke it. And then finally, I was like,
"That's love."
Then finally, I was like, "Hey, I think we broke the DM limit. Here's my number. We should talk more."
Wait.
She responded. It worked out.
Ross, we need that meme. If we don't break the DM limit, it ain't real.
Exactly.
We need that.
No. Right, there's no deck. There's no marketing strategy you're getting from me. This is not a campaign. This ain't happening. No more love on Twitter. This ain't happening. No deck.
That's it. We need that meme. No, this is for love.
Sure. Oh, you want me to roast meme? Oh, I got you.
Oh my gosh, here we go. No, but Rishi, keep going.
I got a question for Rishi. Rishi, look. I also met my wife online, but, like, you know what? I went straight to text. We got that thing off of the app immediately. How are you spending that much time in the DM? What features does Twitter DM offer that iMessage does not?
Nothing. It was just
riveting conversation.
Riveting,
I had to keep riveting, it going. I see.
Riveting conversation. So what happened was, we originally just, like, met in person one time at PAX East, and then she tweeted at me and my buddy, so great to meet us. And we were talking publicly, and then we started going in DMs, and that was that.
Love it.
It's this platform and everything that it is so impactful to me and so meaningful to me, and it means the world. But then all the people that are on here right now, like all the stuff that we've seen. Shout out Parker for all the memes he makes and everything that happens with that too. It's like, everything is so important to us. It's so meaningful.
Yeah, 100%. I echo all that. I think, like, I mean, I've been at Twitter a long time. So even when I was, a hiring manager, people would ask me at the end of interview, like, what keeps you at Twitter? The people, you, Rishi, working with you was all awesome. Like, honestly, the people that we had, that we work with, these bonds, the people that, it was a ride or die, man. Like, I worked at Google before this. Like, there's nothing, everyone had their own agenda at these other companies. It was so crazy. Like, everybody's playing their own game. Whereas here, it was like, yo, we got this thing. Let's work together to accomplish it. I'd never seen anything like that. And it just evolved, and it was amazing. And I think that's the thing that everyone is just going to see through everybody's tweets and stories. It's just like, it's the people that made it. Leadership, I don't know. But people, yes, 100%.
So, oh, go ahead, B. You got something? Go.
No, I was going to say, like, you know me, like, I never get cheesy, but that's all I've been saying all day long, all week long. And especially with, like, the reality of a lot of us being let go, like, this doesn't change. No one can ever take away the relationship that we've built or the reality of being a tweep, not a twit. We'll always be tweeps forever. None of that's ever going to change. And the relationships and the mentality and the feeling of being a tweep is really going to extend across all of our experiences. And that's what I'm truly grateful for.
That's a bar. That's a bar.
This is Chris. I was recently, laid off, I guess, but FYI, an email just came through. I'm based in San Francisco. I don't know when emails were sent out to folks, but I got an email with a little bit of extra details about, what comes next, so to speak. So I just wanted to give a heads up to check your emails.
Appreciate what timing? It. I just got mine as well. What
appreciate timing? It. Appreciate it.
We have some Twitter legends as well that I've invited. There's Bruce Daisley and Ed Ho in the room too. If they wanted to come up on the stage, I invited them. No pressure.
Let's get the legends up here. While we're doing that, Chris, do you want to share anything personnel?
Oh, I mean... That's really what I wanted to say. I mean, my time at Twitter was kind of short. I don't really have a ton of stories, I guess, but I'm grateful for the time that I had. I think the people are awesome. They're really smart. I'm grateful for everyone that I met. I'm sad. I'm also kind of relieved. I'm sure folks feel similarly, but yeah, really, I just wanted to mention the email thing because I know we're all kind of. We've been waiting to hear what's happening, and now we kind of have a sense of what's happening. So I'm grateful for closure, and I hope you guys are too.
Appreciate it. You also have an excellent header. If you're not following Chris Sledge, go follow and check out his header. It's fantastic. I support it.
I'm going to dug out, but much love to you guys for setting this up, and shout out to you guys. Just love you all, and thank you for doing everything that you've done. We've had so many amazing times together. So much shit talking I've done to Shiraz, and that won't stop.
I'm gonna miss that, man. I'm gonna miss that.
It's rare, man. We had a lot of fun with that too.
We did. All love. But that's the thing. Like that, I think that was also the best part that like we're glossing over a little bit. But like you didn't have to agree within the walls of Twitter. Like
never.
We you and I disagreed a lot about everything across the board. But you know what? At the end of the day, we came together and accomplished many, many cool things. But disagreements were a part of it, and I think Twitter actually fostered that. Surprisingly,
oh yeah.
That I don't think a lot of people understand.
I mean, disagreeing with Shiraz is.
It's a given. It's a given.
It's a given.
But yeah. No, I mean, I like everyone should know. Like, let it be official right now. Anytime I gave shit to Shiraz, it was just for giving him shit, just to give him shit and to challenge him. I wanted to keep him on his toes. That's it.
he just wanted to hear me mouth breathe. Get so fired up, I just stopped mouth breathing.
I gotta stress him out. That's what I mean.
He's being very gracious at this time. None of this is true, y'all. None of this is true. No, we appreciate you, Rishi, and everyone. I think Tina was up and then she bounced. Tina, did you want to speak? Or maybe your phone got cut out? Come, request. There you go. Come on up, Tina. You get. You, you're live. Talk to the people. How are you? I think you're on mute right now.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Calling in from Bay Area. My name's Tina. I just wanted to share my favorite memory at Twitter. I was a part of a team, very special team called Twitter Service. We are known as the Twizzles. We got to go to Disneyland for a whole entire week, and it was literally magical. We flew in everyone from EMEA, JPAC, US, and we spent a whole week learning from Disney and bonding with each other. And I see a lot of Twizzles on here, and I just want to give everyone just a big, like, air hug. It was my favorite memory here at Twitter.
That's amazing. I think we have to travel a lot for work. There was a lot of times I'd go to Southern California. Some of my craziest times were at VidCon and across the street from Disneyland. So I know that pretty well. But yes, man, what a ride. What a crazy job also. Like, we had all over the place. I don't think our job titles did justice. Fonz, can you speak to that? Like, we wore so many hats.
I'm just still digesting Tina's story. I'm like, was I on the wrong team?
Yeah.
My gosh.
It was magical. I will tell you that. It was awesome.
If you know the type of work that Twitter Service has to deal with every day, I mean, I would send them to Disneyland. Like,
1,000%. Yeah, Tina, can you tell a little bit more about what y'all deal with? Like what the role? Because it's a... Yes, please.
I actually would love to invite James up here to speak on behalf of me, to speak to Twitter Service. If James, if you want to speak, I do hear you. I do see you listening.
James, requests, just requests. We'll get you up here. There he is. We got you. James.
Yeah, I know. I can speak. It's getting late. Getting more cry. But yeah, for those that don't know, Twitter Service is the operations team for trust and safety in terms of service violations and customer support. So it's everything from child safety to harassment and abuse, terrorism, all the horrible things. Then just trying to help folks with subscriptions and customer support issues. It's a little bit of everything, but they do it all and help support and set up all of the scaled enforcement and all of the content moderators around the world. It's been great. And Tina really, really was a big part of helping to create the culture that we had that allowed us to do Disney and the like. We did learn a lot there too, for the record. We went there to learn from Disney about how they do culture and how they do customer support and keeping people happy. So it wasn't just for fun, but it was a lot of fun. It was really nice.
No, y'all deserve a bazillion percent. And I think if anybody in this space can imagine what it's like to be on the front lines of every single grievance and complaint that comes from people on this platform, I don't think that that's enough. Like, y'all deserve Nobel prizes for, you know, being able to deal with all of that on a day-to-day, because it's relentless. I don't think people understand, right? Like, James, can you speak a little bit more to it? Like, it's every day, 24/7, spikes during every major world moment, right?
Like, it is. Like, I think that's always the tough part, is that it's day-to-day trying to make sure things can happen at scale, but then it's also crisis and things that can happen at the drop of a hat. And what do you do when there's a mass shooting or a war or election? And there's always something to do. But I think the folks that do this, they do it to protect people. They do it for the platform. They do it for the public. Everybody from the content moderators, to the operations folks, to the managers, to the support, to the project managers. We were all there to try to protect everybody else and to make sure that the platform keeps going.
And James, can I ask you one thing? Because I think this is actually really an important topic just across all social media, and the future of it. When you have people who are engaged in that every single day, what have been some things that you saw that really helped people take care of their own mental health to be able to continue to do this day in and day out?
I think that's always the tough part. It's one of the things that I always tried to do, like having folks like Tina who can help with the culture internally, because you sort of need, you need the close relationships and the connections. You need to know what you do and like the importance of what you do. So like my team specifically, for most of the time, I've changed roles recently, but the focused on child safety issues as part of their big problem. But knowing, for example, who was arrested and what your reports and what your actions did, but also just making sure people take time, that like getting days off, making sure that people can step away, making sure that people can do something else or switch roles if they want to. Nobody can do things forever, but sometimes it does take a little bit of a special person.
100%. You guys are warriors, for real. We appreciate y'all. And thank you for coming up and sharing a bit about that. Yeah, there's a lot to this. People really don't get to hear from the people on the front lines that do this work every day. So kudos. And Disney was not enough, in my opinion. What else should we cover? Is there anybody else out there in this space? Good grief, almost 1,000 folks. I'm seeing Lambert. I'm seeing Ruth. I'm seeing even Christina. I know you want a soapbox. Don't front, girl. I'm going to invite you up. Does anybody else, Shiraz, B?
I'm looking. I think everyone's listening, but I think we're dwindling on tweeps and there's just more people listening, but it's all good. It's
everybody all good. Wants the tea.
Yeah.
Brian Polk's in here. Brian Polk, you want to get up on the mic? Martin, I feel like we need some ASMR from Martin. That would be good too.
What about Lambert?
Asked, I mean, Jane. Also, Jane is like honorary tweet.
Well, we gotta get the international, the ex-US folks. We haven't had too
Lambert, many. Get on stage.
Lambert, Natsuko, I'm sending you an invite. Come on.
We should talk to Steven. So Steven was responsible for the former Go/word list. And he and I would talk in depth about how we would always be so angry if anyone tweeted the word tweet and the capital, or the tweet with lowercase.
Is Stephen Fox in here? Yes, get him up here.
Get him up here. All right, we got.
What's good, my people?
We got Lambert. Lambert, okay, everybody. I'm hyped.
Don't do this,
Lambert. I gotta gas you up. This is a big deal. So if y'all were here in the earlier part of the space. Talked about how in 2019, one of my first projects was going to Ghana to activate around Afrochella for Twitter way before anybody was there. Lambert, one of the first ever tweeps hired on the African continent in Accra,
yeah.
Twitter Ghana. Tell us, I know it's probably, I know it's a lot of emotions. Tell us what it was like being, you know, like pioneering like you have been and doing such an amazing job and that launch, right? Like
yeah.
Launching, you know, Twitter Ghana last year.
First of all, you guys know what Ghana internet is like. So if I cut out, just understand. And it's been so amazing holding space with you guys this morning. It's morning in Ghana and listening to all the stories. Thank you for putting this together. And joining the Ghana team, we're just a year and maybe 2 months into it. And it was amazing right from the start. My own story of how I got into Twitter was was kind of funny because I hadn't even seen the job postings put out. And on the day that they were, I had about six people, like former clients, former bosses, someone I was working with at the time. They were like, Lambert, you need to apply for this job. You're perfect for it. You're going to be amazing. I was like, oh shit, let me give it a shot and see. Went through Twitter's rigorous ass hiring process, and then finally got the call, which was amazing. And we jumped straight into the Ghana launch, which was so good. It was just, honestly, it was one of the most amazing campaigns I've ever worked on. Just seeing how passionate everyone from across the world and different markets were about seeing Twitter launched in Ghana and making it successful. I worked really closely with Bianca and Yo and the rest of the team at the time, and honestly just took so much away from that experience.